We have to, we're going to reopen for one thing that Dr. Bale has for the...
Yeah, we sort of ended the Academic Affairs Committee meeting abruptly, and I did have one other thing I wanted to bring up. I didn't know whether others had seen Time Magazine 2 weeks ago, but there was a piece on NPR, and as you might expect, a WKU graduate took that picture, and they had a NPR piece on the graduate. I don't know his name. It is
Jonathan...
Wood.
Mm-hmm. So,
YouTube piece on that's cool too.
Yeah,
click on
about
YouTube.
About a 10 minute. It kind of shows what all the body set up and
yeah,
and the time lapse.
Yeah, I headed it. Some anyway. 567 images taken over 5 hours.
Wow, amazing.
But, the editor of Time is the one who is narrating the the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
And it sounds like we'll have someone in the TV industry in New York shortly, too. Wow. She's impressive. Golly. So that was my last little piece.
Okay.
James said he had one request.
Yeah, and I think this is probably for Provost Emsley. At our regular board meeting in April, would it be possible that we could get maybe a snapshot of current enrollment for this semester? Or if that's okay.
Yeah, census day, I believe, is today.
Oh, okay.
17. We're wrapping up
sure.
A lot of stuff today. We'll be, yeah.
Great, okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. And, Mr. Chairman, that concludes the business of the Academic Affairs Committee.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Ridley, we're reopen the Finance and Budget Committee for Bailey's. Bailey is... Circuitously arrived.
Yeah, I said that you were detained this morning, and I had to correct myself. You were delayed instead of detained. So I cleared that up for the record. You certainly do. And Ann, are you going to sit and guide us through this, or we're just going to let Bailey do? Well, for our committee report, finance and budget, we of course glad to welcome Bailey back to give us his quarterly internal audit report. So thank you very much for your presence and your effort to get here.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity and accommodating the schedule change. Ann, in particular, appreciate you accommodating the change. We have quite a bit to report, but I'll move through it quickly because I know you've had an opportunity to see the slides. So I'm going to take you through kind of what we've been up to the last 3 months. So we have completed some audits. I want to spend a moment going through each of those three audits. Talk about where we are budget to actual and then kind of next steps as we look towards the end of fiscal year 14 and planning for fiscal year 15. So since December, you'll see here these are the three audits that we've completed. Again, I'll go through each of these, just a page on each. And please, as we go along, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to stop me. There's another fourth audit that we have completed the field work. We've discussed our findings with administration, drafted the report, but it needs a little bit more review, and then we'll be issuing that, I would expect, sometime in the next few weeks. So this is what we have to wrap up between now and the end of the fiscal year in June. And some of these are fairly small projects, so it looks like there's a lot here, but we'll be able to get through all of these by the fiscal year end without any problem. And these were all projects that you previously approved in the audit plan several months ago. We thought it would be helpful just to take, I know it's somewhat of a busy slide, I'm not going to go through every word, but I thought it would be helpful just to kind of paint the picture of what the balance of the year is going to look like as it relates to planning for FY15. So phase one, top right, this step has already been completed. Phase two, I will be back here the week of April 14th and we'll be conducting one-on-one interviews with the administrative council, and we'll be refreshing our risk universe, if you will, which we use that as a mechanism to develop our annual internal audit plan. And we'll do that over the course of April and May. We'll be coming back on May 12th and sitting down with the Administrative Council and going through the findings out of the risk assessment refresh and proposed audit plan. And then in June, at the June 27th Finance and Budget Committee meeting, we'll be bringing forward an audit plan for FY15 for that committee's approval. And then you'll see in the top left that, again, you know we do a quarterly update to the Finance and Budget Committee, but we also will provide a report to the full board on the complete results of the internal audit FY14 activity.
Betty,
any questions there? Yes.
Yeah. How soon will we get your suggestions for the list of audits for 15? Will we get that a couple weeks ahead of the meeting? Or
yes, that would be the plan, because we should be able to discuss that on May 12th with the Administrative Council, so
okay.
We'll have
okay.
time to refine it and get it to you ahead of time.
Yeah, the only observation, I just want to be sure that that list comes out so that if anybody has any additions before we make a decision, I don't want to get into a final list and then add something at the end so that we
okay.
budgeted.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions on, again, I know it's a somewhat busy chart, but I want to let you know what we'll be doing. Okay. All right, well, let's move into one of the three internal audit projects that we did complete. The first one is the emergency preparedness plan. What we did here is we wanted to evaluate the emergency preparedness process, in particular looking at the emergency management plan that you have, looking at your website and getting an understanding of the types of training that you're providing in the event of some sort of emergency, which when we say an emergency, that could be a natural disaster, it could be some kind of hostile situation or a bomb threat or active shooter or something along those lines. And the second thing we did was benchmark WKU against other universities of similar size. We took your benchmarking institutions, that list that you have in your WKU fact book, and then we also looked at some other universities. And we're just looking for some recommendations, some ideas that maybe you all have not considered. But overall, what we found was, in our opinion, WKU has an excellent plan in place. And there's some reasons for that. One, back in 2012, the plan you had in existence was totally, you know, updated and rewritten, incorporating some of the NIMS principles, that's the National Incident Management System. And also, you had an emergency operation team of approximately 18 people. It's a cross-section of people across the university. And also, you have some alert systems in place now, such as voice and text and email, and you have the RAVE alert that students can opt into to be brought aware of certain emergency situations. So what you have is a very solid foundation, but we did have a few ideas for consideration, and actually there were seven, three of which were reviewed, and there were other ways in which they were being addressed, and we concurred with the administration, but there were four here that the administration said, yes, these are good ideas, and we want to put them in place. And you can see some of them are going to be in place by the end of this month. The first one is actually putting that emergency management plan that you have on your website, but an amended version, because we found it to be very comprehensive and probably too much, and there may be some things that you wouldn't want out there on the public website. But nonetheless, an amended version's going out. The next is this looking into the idea of an emergency response mobile application, so something for your iPhone. And this is something the University of Louisville has done. And, again, you all are looking at this, and we'll be making some decisions on it by the end of June. We noticed that UNC Greensboro uses a program that kind of pushes alerts out to your desktop or your laptop, even if your internet browser is not open. And again, this is something that you all are going to look at in conjunction with your new phone system implementation. And then lastly, we noticed Appalachian State, Eastern Kentucky University actually have what's kind of a single-page downloadable PDF card that anyone on campus could download, and it tells them, you know, in the event of some sort of threat, what do you do, who do you contact? So it's kind of a quick guide, if you will, versus you know, trying to look through a big full-blown emergency management plan. So that's a mouthful, but so let me pause. But again, we were very impressed with what we saw.
Any discussion on Bailey's report on the emergency plan?
as an employee on this campus, I think those are outstanding recommendations that would get stuff into my hands much sooner. I think those are great ideas. Yeah.
Okay.
Simple.
All right, well, let's talk about the next audit. It's really not so much of an audit as it's actually a requirement each year with the NCAA, a bylaw whereby you report your average actual or paid attendance of at least 15,000 over the number of home football games you have in a given season. That's once every 2 years on a rolling basis. And so what we did is we reviewed the athletic department's calculations. We looked at their, of course, the mathematical accuracy, and then we looked at the supporting documentation, like documentation out of Ticketmaster, for example. And we just wanted to make sure that the calculations were complying with the requirements set forth in the NCAA bylaw in the manual. And of course, we did find that the records were extremely well put together and easy to follow. And as you can see, the finding here, you did exceed the required number of $15,000 in attendance. And just in case you were interested, the number in 2012 was 17,126. So again, this is something that'll be recurring. You'll see this in the audit plan every year. Any questions here? But again, this is again a fairly easy, straightforward process, because the books and records are so well kept. So hats off to Darren Horn and Matt Morrison. Okay. The third audit that we completed, and again, this was what I would characterize more of as kind of a consultative audit project, where it's, again, trying to give you ideas, suggestions on how to formalize your process for whistleblower. And so, again, what we wanted to do is some benchmarking and then recommend a process. And in this key finding, you'll see we state that the university doesn't have a formalized process for reporting fraudulent acts and unethical activity, et cetera. Now, in the past, the Office of Internal Audit did, poll each member of the Administrative Council on an annual basis and ask, are you aware of anything we should look at? And there was also an email box on the website where someone could report something, but with the changes in internal audit a year and a half, 2 years back, those were kind of put on the shelf until this project could be done and we looked to do something a bit more formal. So what you'll see here is a recommendation to actually develop and issue a whistleblower policy. Now, this is not something new and different. The majority of the universities that we work with, which is in the hundreds, the majority of them have a formal whistleblower policy, and many of them contract with a third party to take that initial call. So if someone's calling the 1-800 hotline, if you will, then it's a third party that takes and screens that call. And this is not, this is a very inexpensive and a very effective way to do this. We're talking somewhere $3,000 to $5,000 a year to have a third party that can do this initial screen, if you will. And then what would happen is that third party would, vet and make sure that it was a valid claim, and then would turn that over to internal audit through a claims log that internal audit would conduct an investigation. And we recommend, and we've seen this at many other universities, that you have some type of screening committee that would be a forum for internal audit to go to if there was something really kind of sticky and they needed some advice and suggestions. They could go to this screening committee when they needed to. And then the last bullet here, and this is important, if for some reason there was a claim against the Office of Finance and Administration, then as opposed to the internal auditor conducting that investigation, because internal audit administratively reports to the SVP of Finance and Administration, we would have the screening committee take on and investigate any type of issue related to the financials. Questions or comments there?
Yeah, you made a comment just a minute ago. You said something that we didn't have one of these whistleblower procedures in place, and that as a part of your audit process, what you did was is you did some informal interviews or conversations with people. Should we be aware of something? That raises a question in my mind about confidentiality, not only at that level, but confidentiality going forward with a program where perhaps the screening committee does not find that there was some sort of problem that rises to that level. So what sort of proposals, if you have any, or thought process have you given to the confidentiality aspect of this?
Let me see if
Or does it come into play?
Make sure I understand your question. Are you concerned about something getting, you know, outside of the office of internal audit?
No, more concerned about
or,
the individual.
The individual protected when they come forward. Now, that's a great question. And as part of putting this policy together, that's something that the university will have to decide, is how is it that you're going to, you know, ensure the protection of that whistleblower, that, you know, if they do come forward, they're not going to be dismissed.
I guess my one point is that if I came to you, mm-hmm, as an employee of this university and presented what I thought was a problem, that the screening committee or ultimately at some determination level came to the conclusion that no, it is not, that mm-hmm, your observations are wrong, my identity would need to be protected on a continuous basis.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. That would be part of the policy. That's exactly right. Great question.
It's my understanding when you do, now I'd be wrong, but I, through my experience, if you contract through a third party, that is the first level of insulation between what the concern is.
And you may not even reveal your name to...
Exactly. His suggestion that you have a third party to make the initial call, it's kind of like the Crime Stopper thing where you can turn in somebody. And I mean, it's that. My understanding is that's the way that works.
Well, that's a good point, John. At some point in time, though, the individual or individual's name or identity comes to the forefront, but it has to have been very well vetted by that time. And that individual needs to be very well protected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think, but the first to open it up to everyone, that's the first level, and then we'll have to step in at the screening, is what I understood.
And we can give you some ideas on...
Now, how does the committee come up?
Who typically is made up or part of the steering committee, and that would be something you all would have to decide.
Do you have suggestions of how those people are appointed? Is that something the president steps in, or is that a board issue, or...?
I think it could be, you know, ultimately the board will approve the policy. So I think within the policy you could discuss the makeup of the screening committee, whether that's, you know, general counsel, internal audit.
Do you have a template for that?
We do.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think if we had a template for mm-hmm us, rather than us just start that process.
Absolutely. Now There's some, in fact, ones that you can find on the websites of a number of universities, because we went and looked at some of them, and within our detailed audit report, we actually pulled out some sentences and paragraphs and said, this was a great, we thought, example, and you ought to consider baking this into your policy. But there are a number of ones that we can provide to you as examples.
So what is the next step for us to... Is that an administrative issue, or is that a board direction? I'm asking, Mr. Chair, what... You've got May on there. That's right around the corner. Do you need authority, or Ann?
As it states in the agenda item, we're really pleased to have our new staff auditor start April 7th. So we'll bring her into this process. We already have a draft, first draft of the whistleblower.
Thank you.
And when we think we have it fine-tuned, we will start with administrative counsel and ask them to provide. But, and we've also investigated the third party, and it's about, you said, $3,000 to $4,000. It's a reasonable expense, and it does provide that buffer, which is good.
Thank you.
Okay. Other questions, great, comments here? Good discussion. Okay. We'll move on just very quickly. Take you to the most important number on the page, and that's the one at the bottom, and that's it. You know, right now we're ahead of budget and would anticipate, you know, staying there, but we do have some unallocated funds should there be a need for ad hoc projects between now and the end of the fiscal year. We've got some budget here to work with, which is good.
You shouldn't have shown that. Dr. Ansel's in the middle. Look, he's trying to find every dime he can.
Well, I
$3,000.
Well, I should point out that the $18,500, that was a number that kept moving every month, of course, because each month that went by, we didn't have a full-time staff auditor. That freed up some budget for other purposes.
You're saying that the unallocated is like a reserve.
I have my eyes on it, if you don't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right.
I'm not going to spend it, Ann. I'm not going to spend it.
I think it's our next discussion.
Oh, okay.
So the last slide, just to talk again about where we're going next. Ann mentioned that we are onboarding an auditor, staff auditor, on April the 7th. Her name is Jennifer Miller. I had the opportunity to review her resume and phone interview her. I was very impressed with her. She had experience at Fruit of the Loom, most recently U.S. Bank and BKD, public accounting firm. And she's a graduate of WKU. So I know Ann in particular, we're looking forward to having her on. And we'll be, you know, continuing, Grant Thornton will continue to work into next fiscal year with the transition.
The resumes on the back of your material.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we'll execute the audits we showed a few slides back. And we talked about the risk assessment process and the audit plan development and then how we'll get that to you and for your approval. So that's the internal audit report.
Any members have a question for Bailey or for Ann? Any points you'd like to discuss?
Is there a copy of that report available for the board?
I've got copies.
Oh, great. Okay, thank you. No, no, just the presentation.
If there are no more questions, Mr. Chairman, that finishes, I think, the report for the financing budget.
And do you want to?
That was an action item. I mean, information item. We passed all the literature, I think. Did we not?
Yes, right.
Yeah. I think it worked. That was information.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Thank you all.